You're hooked up, right?
I'm hooked. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm hooked up.
Ready to go? Carol hasn't been doing it for a while.
Pete is now our expert.
Pete's our KL.
Yeah.
I've met Carol. You're no KL.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8, we studied and have been studying. Says he, therefore, that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. And I just want to spend a little bit of time seeing if we can perceive what this Holy Spirit is and what it, how it differentiates from other things. Who he is, I should say. There's more confusion over the ministry and the acts and the activities of the Holy Spirit, and especially in the charismatic movement, that it's just become a—I don't know what you call it—some kind of a spiritual drug or spiritual high that you have to go get replenished every day or something. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll start an overview. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual, now notice that gifts is in italics. And it says, it's concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And then he goes on and gives you some activities of what the Holy Spirit is doing. But since that In the just about every translation of the Bible, the word gifts is applied, then that's the concentration. But it's just, I would have you understand spiritual matters. I would have you understand the kingdom or what's going on with the spiritual activity, as opposed to the gifts, and you concentrate on all the activities that just make you crazy. Amen?
Yeah. I've been watching TV again.
No. This was a convenient time to look at it. What's in the New Testament, spiritual gifts, is just the word pneumatikos. And it means, as I said, spiritual matters. Gifts is not in the text. Now that would upset a lot of people because, man, they just glory in the gifts. Some people here used to do that.
They go on to talk about gifts. Would you use the same word later?
Well, let's
on?
Just get there. We'll get there.
You're not there yet.
I would not have you ignorant. Well, let's look at it. Concerning brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Brethren is adelphoi, meaning out of the same womb. Ignorant is ignorant. Agneo. Agnoio, which means not understand, don't know and forgot, took it to self, anything like that is ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. No is oida here, not the epignosis or gnosis. This oida is the meaning is if you can see and know and understand with your senses, with the five senses, if you have any integrity. You know that you've been carried away unto these dumb idols. And what is on and on and on your whole life, right? Carried away is apago, which means it's led away. It's translated in other places as put to death. You're led away onto the dumb idols, unmeaning, without significance, hidden. An idol is eidolon, which means an image or something you consider important. Anything that you consider important in time and space is a dumb idol. because in time and space, all matters are equal. You believe that? That's a biggie. We've spent our lives ranking things in time and space. We rank importance. We rank, well, now they're ranking sin. You got this, and in Catholicism, it talks about the what is it? How do you say this? Pardon?
Mortal sins and venial sins.
Yeah, mortal sins and venial sins. Well, that's not in the Bible. Sin is sin. Sin is missing the mark. The mark is the exact center of a bullseye. 1 micron away from the exact center is same as missing it by 1,000 miles. So sin is sin. And so anything other than abandonment of self, anything that you consider important in time and space, is a dumb idol. Right? You're shaking your head, but you're going.
It's only source of power is what you give it. It's
right.
The idol itself, the thing, is a dumb idol without any ability whatsoever.
Right. It's same as in the olden days. They carried the idols on their shoulders.
Yeah.
You still carry the idols on your shoulders. Yeah, boy, they're important. All right, let's get into specifics. So you're carried away by these dumb idols, and now he interrupts his discussion with this very important scripture in verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. All right. Accursed is anathema. And we've got, you got all these jillions of meanings of anathema that people talk about. But it really only means one thing. It means not fit for the temple. And it's, you go higher and higher and higher as your understanding sees that you've been apprehended by. It goes all the way to the point of unfit for the Holy of Holies and then unfit for the mercy seat. So, and the progression of apprehension is unfortunately extremely slow. You're already seated on the mercy seat, but your mind doesn't believe it. And so that's why there is the appearance of progression. You're already there. Christ finished the work. You are seated with him in the heavenlies, but you're carried away by dumb idols. Okay? All right. So we could spend all day studying that word accursed, but it just means anathema in the Old Testament. The word is harem or herem. It's that which is unfit for the temple. That which is finally unfit for the mercy seat. Okay, then there are diversities of gifts. Diversities means distinctions or specific activities. And then gifts is charisma. There are differences, distinctions of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Administration is just the word that means, well, how can I say it?
Manifestations. Manifestations.
No. It's like if you were the keeper of, let's assume that you were the sergeant at arms at the Senate, at the U.S. Senate, for exchange. Okay, the sergeant at arms was responsible for seeing that the activities that went on in that arena met the purpose for which they were there. So the administration, the diversities of gifts, but it, and what is administration? And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. So again, this differences of administration depend on the apprehension or how much you've been apprehended by in this progression to the temple. The Holy Spirit is at work while you're even still in Egypt. You're in the world. But the Holy Spirit is at work, and the administration of the Holy Spirit in the world is different than the administration of the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. And then it's the administration of the Holy Spirit as you cross the Jordan into the Promised Land is different than it was in the wilderness. And then the difference, and then you finally get to Jerusalem, and you're apprehended by Jerusalem, and there the administration is different in that place, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until you finally reach the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, where all your life is, and that's your first source. And so this differences of administration, it depends on where you have been apprehended. But it's always the same Spirit. It looks like the administration is different. But it depends on, everything depends on you being you're apprehended, but you have to apprehend that which you've been apprehended by. And if you can see that all of us have been apprehended it to the point that we are in and on the mercy seat, no matter what your mind says, no matter what you believe, but you have to apprehend that you've done all that you've been in all those. You understand? That's what it means about differences of administration. Depends on your level of apprehension. Okay. And there are diversities of operation. Operation is where we get the word energy, energema. It just means the outworking of that administration. All right? But the manifestation, there are differences of operation. Operations is, well, I said, that's energema. But it is the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, the fullness of the manifestation is given to every man. The best way to understand this is that pecan tree in the back. This year it's not giving any pecans. Who knows why? Last year we had pecans more than you could ever use. Now the squirrels are hungry, so that's why I spend my day feeding the squirrels. But that pecan tree first had to have a seed. It had to have that life-giving thing we call the pecan. The pecan would, and we've talked about this many times, if you can imagine that Jesus was the first pecan. He fell into the ground and died, and a tree grew, the perfect tree. And then it was shaken on Pentecost. And now the whole earth is covered with pecans. Everybody's got some kind of a definition of what they are. They're trying to, and you'll see, if we could see everybody, there's Mormon pecans, and there's atheist pecans, and there's Baptist pecans, and there's Trinity Foundation pecans, and Islam, and atheist, and every kind of concept that you can conceive of. That's what those pecans are on the outside. But in every one of those pecans, there's the germ of life to produce what it's intended to produce. And so that can't happen until that pecan, or you, fall into the ground and die. Until that point, that pecan will always abide alone, no matter what it does, no matter how much it tries to suck up to another pecan. It's always alone. You can act like you're together. You can act like you're married. You can act like all things are going on and everything's doing you're doing pecan things, but you're not. Because that purpose of that pecan is to fall into the ground and die. Unless you want to become squirrel food. You understand that metaphor? So each one of these pecans has a name. There's a Carolyn pecan and a John pecan and a Pete pecan and a Sue. I'm not sure about Sue. There's a Sue pecan and everybody pecan.
No pizza.
You have to fall into the ground and die. Otherwise, anything that you're doing has no meaning. And everything that's going on is exactly the same. In other words, there's no ranking of it. It's just pure dumb idols. Pure stupidity. That pecan must fall into the ground and die before anything spiritual can take place. But you can have the appearance of spirituals if the whole bunch of pecans get together and the lighting is just right and the music is just right, and then you can have a whole bunch of pecans do crazy things. 20% of the population of any place you went, go in the world are what's called somnambulists. That means they're easily hypnotized. What every one of these crusades is that we see on television, and you've attended, is this. Going to it or watching it on television, you're already in the first stage of self-hypnosis. And you go and there's this music and crowd and energy, and you have the false spirituals. And the test that they're false is that they have to keep being renewed. You have to keep renewing them, and you have to keep renewing them. Amen?
Yeah, and to be hypnotized, you have to be willing.
No, you don't.
Not the lover.
No. No, again, 20% of the population can easily be hypnotized without them knowing it. And that's the core group that does these crazy things, and then others follow.
I think that's the path.
So that's what you see in quote-unquote charismatic churches. You pray for the anointing. And I don't know. Some of you ought to go to a charismatic church just for grins sometime.
Or just watch
participate.
It's like part of the people are at the charismatic giant gatherings, and then the other part of them are at the rock concerts.
Same thing.
And the other part of them are at the political rallies, which
right.
Get the same kind of energy.
Same thing.
Going and
it's exactly the same thing.
When I was at the Republican convention that was here, Reagan came out, and it was like nothing I'd ever experienced, you know, in a group. You know, it's all across the board. It doesn't matter, you know, things are happening. you're suddenly sucked into stuff.
You're trying to always realize the latent power of the soul that was cursed. That's the direction that all men are trying to get to. Wherever you see it, you get it, you see it, if it touches something in you, then you manifest in it. A football game, basketball game, anything. You can have the manifestation of the quote-unquote gifts of the Spirit. You know, some of you are too young, but the same thing used to happen with Frank Sinatra. When he was a young man and had these women were swooning, passing out, just in his presence. So my point to you of all this is that isn't spirituals. And you've got to learn to understand the difference so you cannot be deceived by all this latent power of the soul, which is just group power, group energy. If you have to pump energy into it, it's not of the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit at work. I don't feel like talking anymore. So that's the first, that's Holy Spirit, remedial Holy Spirit. Anybody have any thoughts?
Well, we were talking last night about this deal where you see the handwriting on the wall deal. You know,
Name, tekeluparse.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't, unless you see that somehow, then you're not going to fall into the ground and die. You're not going to want to, because you're going to be able to, you know, thankful. Things are just temporarily going wrong here. I'm not totally lacking. I can make it up here as a nut on the surface. Fulfill my destiny without dying.
Now, every part, every person has three parts. Your body, soul, and spirit. And so you've got, the body is obvious, but what is the soul? It talks about saving your soul. The soul is your you-ness, what makes you you. And it's what it's done so far is just to make you an individual. And what the Holy Spirit does, when he totally grabs you and controls you, you finally have personality. And individuality and personality are two totally different things. Individuality means that it's, you're working it up, you're copying, you're getting stuff here and you're getting stuff there, and you're becoming you somehow. You're learning to become you. But personality is the gift of the Spirit. It's total. It's a unique. Nothing can come against it. And each one of us are different. And that's what we're all searching for, is that personality that's totally motivated and guided by the Holy Spirit.
Personality would be more spontaneous expression.
Right.
Individuality is something you personally...
You work up. You learn.
Yeah, you say, that's kind of what I want to be, so here's how I get there.
Yeah, who I really am is there because it will fit in with the body of Christ.
Amen.
Somehow. You know, that's the only reason I'm like I am.
Amen.
If I think it's some other reason, then it can go off into this other direction. Death.
Right. So that's what everybody wants. You want to find out, because personality is fundamentally, who are you? What are you doing here?
You don't find that out unless you open your mouth and speak, prophesy, be.
And that's everything that comes. That's why everything that doesn't stand the test is just goes out the draw. You know, this is why I do what I do, and so, that's so controversial. As I try to push each one of you over the edge. And some people get very angry.
For long periods of time. you've
seen that happen.
I know people who do that.
All right. Take it, big guy.